how that important it is to keep our hearts, and then the Sunday school lesson and the song about faith of our fathers, and just bringing that all together with the message that I want to bring this morning. Sometimes a preacher looks for confirmation, and I'm not sure if we should do this or not, but I did feel like the lesson and the song about faith of our fathers was a confirmation to me that, yes, God wants to have shared this morning what he's laid on my heart. And that's in relation to fathers. What I'm going to preach about this morning is directed to the fathers, but to you as ladies, as sisters here this morning, many of the points we're going to discuss can be applied to your lives as well. So it's good to be here. I was supposed to come in, I think it was May, so I'm sorry that it's taken so long to get here, but here we are. Connected Fathers. I believe it was a little over a year ago, August of 2024, a young father was killed while on a camping trip with his wife and three small sons. Dr. David Hodgins was walking along a trail that bordered the Anon River in the far north of Queensland, Australia. The Anon River is famous for its large crocodiles. Recent rain had caused the bank of the river to become soft, and as Dave was walking along, part of the trail suddenly collapsed, and he fell down into the water. His wife was nearby. She heard the splash, and she ran to his rescue, sliding down the muddy bank. She tried to grab his hand and pull him out, but he was too heavy. She was not able to pull him up, and so Dave let go of her hand, knowing that to keep hanging on would leave both of them stranded. Moments later, a large crocodile attacked, and Dave was gone. Here's what his wife had to say. She said, "David touched so many people's lives that everyone deserves to know who he was and how it all ended for him. I want to put a face to this tragedy. Someone didn't just get killed by a crocodile. We have lost a wonderful husband, father, son, brother, friend, and doctor. We were just enjoying a standard day of our holiday, and everything just changed. Within 30 seconds, he wasn't doing anything wrong. In fact, he was doing everything right, and still this happened. Things can change so quickly. In an instant, he saved me. His last act was not to pull me in with him. And I'm glad I'm still here, because it could have been a millionfold worse for everyone involved. Not just for the boys. I want them to know how dedicated he was as a father. He always jokingly offered to be a stay-at-home dad and never work again, because his boys were his number one priority," she said. "Dave was just the most calming, grounding person to have around in a crisis. And he was so loving, thoughtful, handsome, fiercely loyal, and protective, and intelligent." A few days later, wildlife officers shot and killed a crocodile containing Dave's remains. To us here as dads this morning, it's obvious that Dave was a connected father. He was a man that loved his wife and his family, and he died a hero. What would our family's final words be about us? What do you want to be remembered for? How do you want to be remembered? Charlie Kirk was referenced this morning, and I'm not going to eulogize him, but I have been impressed with his ability to share truth to the youth, the generation of youth. And he said that he wanted to be remembered for his faith and for his courage. Noble things to be remembered for. Connected fathers. The burden of this message this morning is that we as fathers would make sure that our connection with our Heavenly Father is strong and vibrant, and that our connection with our families is also strong and vibrant. And if there are any loose connections here this morning, that those connections would be strengthened and restored. Now, I brought something with me this morning. I guess probably what I brought along is, you could say it has been maybe the inspiration for this message. You know, sometimes we get inspired by the strangest things. And so I brought it with me. It's something that my friend Alvin Cron, most of you probably know Alvin and Nella, they come to our church there at Grasslands, and they Alvin works on big engines. And so I brought something he gave me. This is a big connecting rod. This thing probably weighs, I don't know, 80 pounds. And it comes out of a Siemens 1200 horsepower natural gas engine. And they had to replace the connecting rods in those engines because there was something faulty with them. So he was passing these connecting rods out, and he wondered if I want one. And I said, sure, I wouldn't mind having that. So I'll just send it here. That's what that is. It's a connecting rod. It's the part that connects the piston, which is where the power happens, which is where the explosion happens inside that engine. And it connects it to the crankshaft, which transfers that power out to the transmission and, well, in many cases makes the wheels go around, provides action, provides power. Connected fathers, it's important that we're connected to the Lord Jesus, that we're connected to the truth of God's word, so that we can accomplish what God has called us to do in our families, in our communities, in the world around us. There's a lot of broken crankshafts today, a lot of marriages and families that are broken and they're seized up and they're cold. The fuel that much of the world is running on is contaminated by various sources, Hollywood, Nashville. That is their intent, is to destroy the family, to destroy homes, because they know that if they can destroy homes, they can destroy God's plan and his blessing. Chuck Colson says this: children in single-parent families are 5 times more likely to be poor, and half the single mothers in the United States live below the poverty line. Children of divorce suffer intense grief, which often lasts for many years. Even as young adults, they are nearly twice as likely to require psychological help. Children from disrupted families have more academic and behavioral problems at school and are nearly twice as likely to drop out of high school. Girls in single-parent homes are at a much greater risk for precocious sexuality and are 2.5 times more likely to have a child out of wedlock. Crime and substance abuse are strongly linked to fatherless households. Statistics show that 60% of rapists grew up in fatherless homes, as did 72% of adolescent murders and 70% of all long-term prison inmates. In fact, most of the social pathologies disrupting American life today can be traced to fatherlessness. There you have the statistics. Well, I'm thankful this morning that God, in his word, has given the formula for successful fatherhood. And if this formula is followed, we can be assured of God's blessing. This is not something that is hopeless this morning, but I want to inspire hope in each one of you, especially those of us as fathers, that this is possible. With God's help, it's very possible to be an effective, connected father. We just want to look at how that's done. We want to look at the final words of King David this morning, and we'd like to discover, we're going to look at 3 principles. There's actually 9 of them, but we're going to look at 3 this morning. And if any one of these principles, any one of these connecting rods are missing, It's going to affect the, it's going to cost disaster and expensive downtime. I've never stood at the bedside of a dying person. Maybe some of you have here this morning. Maybe you've heard the final words that came from someone's lips as they were leaving time and entering eternity. I suppose everyone in this life gets a chance sooner or later to hear those words, what they are. The final words are off of a person are typically a window into their heart. It's a revelation of what is important to them. And we want to look at the final words of King David here this morning. They're recorded three places in Scripture. We're going to look at one place today. They recorded three places in Scripture. And what we want to look at this morning is his personal statement in relation to his personal relationship with his Heavenly Father. His final words are also recorded in reference to his precious son Solomon. And then there's also final words recorded to his people, the people that he shepherded. And they're a wonderful revelation of what made David the kind of person that he was. Let's turn to 2 Samuel chapter 23. We want to use these verses as a text here today. 2 Samuel chapter 23. And I'd like to read verses 1 through 5. Now these be the last words of David, David the son of Jesse, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, The rock of Israel spake to me, He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be as the light of the morning, when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, is a tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. Although my house be not so with God, or another way of reading that is in a question, at least that's what commentators say, is not my house also so with God? I believe it was. Yet he hath made me with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. What is the formula for success? What principles can we take from this final statement, from these last words of King David? Now, I brought an illustration along that I want to hang up here on the whiteboard, and it's just to help to give you a visual here to help us go through this message. Now, it's just, you ladies might not know what this is. I think most of you men will know what it is. It's, what do we have here? Does anybody know? It's a picture of the inside of your Power Stroke or your Duramax. We've got six pistons here. My wife is the artist. Don't get any credit for that. We've got six pistons, and we want to look at three of them today. Three principles that must be part of connected fathers' lives. David was a man that was connected to God. He was successful when his God connections were strong. His failures happened when his connections with God became loose and weak. David had a wealth of family experience. He had 19 sons and one daughter that are named in Scripture, plus all the unnamed children that were born to his concubines. He was not a perfect man. We all know that. And his life has lessons that we can learn from, both in relation to his successes and his failures. But here in his personal statement or testimony, we want to look at three principles that we need to have as fathers in relating to our family today. And the first one is the first piston number one, is we must have sweet communion with God. Sweet communion with God. That is piston number one. And you'll notice that in verse 1. It talks here about how David was the sweet psalmist of Israel. Sweet communion goes above piston number one, principle number one. Sweet communion with God. The sweet psalmist of Israel. David wrote at least 73 of the psalms that are recorded in the Bible. And these psalms are personal songs of testimony. Some of them are songs of praise. Some of them are prophetic songs. Some of them were written in times of discouragement and despair and failure. Others were written in seasons of deliverance and victory. But all of them are a window into David's heart, into his connection with God. The formula to David's successes in life was his connection with God. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14, it talks about it was in relation to Saul and Saul's failures and how God needed to take the throne away from Saul and his family and give it to a man. And God said the man he's going to give it to is a man that is after his own heart. In other words, a man that loved what God loved, that loved God's truth. A man that lived God's truth in the society, in the community, in the culture that he was part of. David's connection with God caused him to protect the people of God and confront the enemies of God, the Philistines who defied the God of Israel. David had a tender heart. His heart was quick to repent when he did wrong, when he failed. David wasn't bitter. He wasn't controlled by the responses and by the attitudes of those that envied or tried to hinder or slander or get rid of him. Even though he was a hardened soldier, even though he had seen countless enemy troops take their last breath, David had a soft heart. Fathers, today the formula is no different. We need to have sweet communion with our Heavenly Father. He's the only source we can turn to for wisdom to deal with life's complexities. And the complexities of life, they don't get any less the older you get. I don't believe so. I haven't found it that way. And I'm sure you haven't either. He is our only friend who can understand and heal the deepest wounds and disappointments of our hearts. He's the only one who can help us overcome the giants of lust and envy and fear and pride. He's the only one who can show us how to guide the feet of our families in a way that makes them want to follow. There's a lot of families, there's a lot of children that they don't want to follow their dad. They don't want to serve the God, whatever God that is, that he's serving. They don't want nothing to do with him. And sadly, that's the case in many plain circles. How would you describe your communion with God today? Is the connection loose? Is there a lot of static? Has it gone completely dead? Did you lose service when you went through a low spot? Sometimes that happens. How'd you keep it alive? Well, make it a priority. Set time aside. Schedule it every day. It won't happen if you wait till you have time. Make it the most important thing in your life. Make sure that you don't let other things steal your affections. You know, there's a lot of things that are competing for a man's affections nowadays. It can be community standing. It can be farm credit. It can be shiny paint. It can be a comfortable lifestyle. And that these things are not necessarily wrong in themselves, but when they become the driving force in our lives, it crowds God out. And we get in trouble. Make communion with God a way of life. You know, he can hear us everywhere. Over the cat, over the Cummins, that's not a problem. David communed with God on the job. Also, be awake and aware of the hand of God in every detail of your life. Be awake and aware. You know, it was God that kept the tire from flying off. It was God that made that connection that sold you that job. It was. It was God that gave you a record-breaking crop. It was God. It wasn't just your management. What kept David from becoming a hard, bitter, crusty old man? What kept him from becoming that? So many men get on in life and they get to retirement age and they're either one or the other. I believe it was his communion with God. You see it every time. It is God that makes men sweet. It's not sissy to be sweet this morning. It's not. And the more time you spend with him, the more like him you become. You know, our tendency as men is to get sour when our expectations are not met. Maybe the calves didn't quite bring what we hoped, or the yield was a little lower than the neighbors, or the children embarrassed us. And you know, and we can become short and sour and grumpy. And listen, stay connected to God. He's going to make you a sweet person. He's going to make you a person that others want to follow. You know, when we let God be in control, he brings a sweetness to your character because life isn't about you, it's about him. All right, back to our engine here. Fathers that have a successful connection with their families have a sound concept of their authority. They have a sound concept of their authority, and you'll see that in verse 2. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And this one here, I believe, is another key to David's success. It's what made people want to follow him, because he had a sound concept of his authority. And you cannot separate accountability and authority. This principle is so foundational that David includes it in his final words. I find that interesting. How many wounds, how many wrecks, how much bitterness and reaction are in the world today because fathers and leaders did not have this one straight? David lays out two ingredients here that form the basis for godly authority. And I believe if we follow these, we're going to have connection with our wife, with our sons, with our daughters, and in our relationships with others. And the first one is, he says, he that ruleth over men must be just. He must be just. And just is got quite a few definitions. And I'm going to read you a whole list of them here because I believe each word that I'm going to read to you is a accurate definition of just. The first one is fair. Fair-minded. Equitable. Even-handed. Impartial. Unbiased. Objective. Neutral. Unprejudiced. Open-minded, non-partisan, non-discriminatory, honorable, upright, upstanding, decent, honest, righteous, ethical, moral, virtuous, principled, full of integrity, good, right-minded, straight, reasonable, trustworthy, incorruptible, truthful, sincere, and square. I like the last one best. Just plain old square. That's what God is looking for this morning, men that are square. You see, square is always square. You want to cut something square, you get a square, and you can count on it, unless it's been bent or broken. But square is always square. It's a standard that you can go by. You see, when we're not fair, when we're not just, we undermine the basis for trust and respect. And without trust and respect, there cannot really be relationship. And if there is, it's very surface. You know, a fair man listens to his wife and he lets her finish her story. He doesn't set her straight in front of the guests or the children. I know, husband, you can almost count on it, and maybe I've told you this here before, but you can almost count on it. He sets his wife straight almost every time we're together. And it comes to the point like where I start to wonder, well, how is he going to do it this time? Sure enough, he lives up to his reputation, I guess. A fair man doesn't overlook a misdemeanor one day and bring the sledgehammer down the next. A fair man doesn't brag about how he evaded the law or pulled the wool over the preacher's eyes. A fair man says, don't worry, it'll be my turn next time when his daughter shows him the new dent in the tailgate. Fair man realizes, yes, he also makes mistakes. A fair father makes his son go back and apologize when he catches him bullying another little boy. A fair man does not tolerate discrimination towards other races or other people in the church. He doesn't find pleasure in discussing others' weaknesses. A fair man does not varnish the truth even when it costs him. He admits and takes responsibility for his failures. A fair man declares a conflict of interest when he knows that he can't make an unprejudiced judgment. Maybe, yeah, those situations come in life. I've been there. There's times when we need to just declare a conflict of interest. Maybe it's one of our children that's involved, and we need to step aside. A fair man always gives the benefit of the doubt. A fair man forgives unreservedly. The second ingredient that David brings out here and gives to us is that sound authority must be carried out in the fear of God. In the fear of God. You remove this ingredient, and authority will be abused. All authority is under authority. All are accountable to a higher authority. This is God's safety check. And those who don't understand this will become dictators. You know, our tendency as fathers, our human tendency, I mean, even Adam had this problem. But our tendency is to be passive and not deal with the responsibility we have been given. You know, we find it easier to make an excuse or to turn a blind eye, but did you know that passiveness is actually an abuse of authority? It actually is. You know, there's a couple of occasions where David did not use his authority in a just, God-fearing way, and it cost him dearly, and God did not let him escape the consequences. The one time was when he committed adultery with Bathsheba. God's rules were no different for David than they were for anybody else. And David suffered the consequences of that choice. He used his authority to get what he wanted, but he could not escape the consequences. And the other time was when he numbered Israel. He did a census in Israel. God had said not to do that. And he had the privilege of watching, it's not a privilege, he had the horror of watching the people that he loved be put to death. Because of his decision. Can you imagine? Think about the reaction, the emotion that David had towards the man that stole the poor man's lamb in the prophet Nathan's story following David's affair with Bathsheba. You know, you think about David's character and you think about his response to Nathan's story, and it was somewhat out of character, but he had no mercy for that man. He had only harsh judgment about what should happen to that man, and rightly so. But he did not connect the dots that it was him, at least not right at the time. We were in Belize, so it's been a couple of years ago now, and we had a men's feast up on the mountain behind Dan's house. Some of you know Dan and Lori's, our daughter-in-law's parents, and we had this men's feast up on the mountain behind their house, and it was to celebrate one of the boys had turned 20, and he was leaving the teenage years and entering into manhood. So we had this men's feast there, and it was a time of inspiration and good food. Beside each of our plates, there was a machete and a plastic fork, not the usual cutlery that you would expect. But it was there for a reason. It was there to teach a lesson. It was there as an object lesson. And it was in relation to the machete was a picture of how we need to be men of steel. Men who can mortify and cut off the sins that so easily beset us and crucify our flesh. And men who can protect our families from the evil in the world around us. And men who can stand with God. That was on the one side. The other side of the plate was this plastic fork, and it represented the balance. You try and eat steak with a plastic fork, it's got to be one of the most frustrating things in life to try and eat steak with a plastic fork. You know, the prongs break off and they stay in the steak. But the point was that we as men need to be gentle. And that machete on the one side needs to be balanced out with the gentleness of the plastic fork on the other side. And I thought it was a very good illustration how we need to be balanced by both ingredients. You know, the emotions of our family are delicate. They can quickly be hurt. We can quickly damage their emotions. Yes, I believe we can coddle to the point where it maybe creates soft, feeling-based kind of children. There is that side. But I think we as fathers need to be gentle. We need to be there to help our children deal objectively with the offenses and disappointments that life brings. Have a relationship with them that can help them to think right. You know, so much of life is about thinking right and not getting wallowed in self-pity and getting all down in the dumps. And people that get involved in those things and that live in those things cannot be the productive kind of people that God wants them to be. God wants us to be able to live above those things, or work through them at least, come through them, and not live in a me-focused kind of mental state. So I'm going to hang this back up again. Another piece of tape here before we do that. Well, maybe we'll just have to set it here in front. Men can see it there, I guess, can you? Okay. Remember this morning, on this point, remember your authority is a privilege, not a right. When used in a God-fearing, fair way, it'll result in blessing to you and to those that you're responsible for. God doesn't need an orator who knows just what to say. He doesn't need authorities to reason him away. He doesn't need an army to guarantee a win. He just needs a few good men. Men full of compassion, who laugh and love and cry. Men who will face eternity and aren't afraid to die. Men who will fight for freedom and honor once again. He just needs a few good men. All right, number three, piston number three, connected fathers, and this is the last one we're going to look at this morning, but connected fathers are Fathers that are sure in their covenants. And that one goes above piston number 3. Sure in their covenants. Notice verse 5. David says, yet hath he made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. Now, when something is sure, it's trustworthy, it's reliable, it's unhesitating, it's unwavering, it's unvacillating, it's unshakable. And that's a good description of our Heavenly Father. It's not a good description of many fathers in society today. How our families need a rock. They need a dad that is strong. They need a dad that is an anchor. They need a dad that knows what he believes and why he believes it. That's what they need. They need a dad that is fine to wear his dad shoes, even if they're a little daddish. I got a pair of shoes some time ago, and the children told me, those are kind of daddish. And I'm like, good, that's what I am. I can wear daddish shoes. A dad that has an ordered life, even when it's hectic. A dad that has time for what's most important. A dad that has time to listen to his children's trouble, his wife's trouble, and his neighbor's trouble. A dad with clear eyes, even when there's grease under his nails or sawdust in his ears. A dad that grows more tender with age and less arrogant. You know, the longer a chicken is in the slow cooker, the softer it gets. And that's how it should be with us as dads as well. A dad that takes his covenant with his children's mom seriously and treats her with dignity and respect. A dad who remembers their anniversary and brings her roses. I was blessed this morning. Brother Kevin, he knew how many years they were married. He didn't hesitate. He said 11. Good job, Kevin. A dad who shows his affection with a hug and a kiss. And winks at the children, and you know, it's okay if they giggle and blush a little bit. Our children need to see that. A dad who's careful with his words and controls his spirit. I know of a family where the dad would yell at the cows so loud that the neighbors could hear. Children need to see a dad who is committed to the church, a dad who lives up to his promise he made to support it, a dad who pulls his weight and supports his programs. Children need to see that. They need to see a dad who pays his bills, a dad that doesn't spend more than he makes, a dad that lives within his means. They need to see a rock that doesn't react when false accusations or setbacks come. One of the memories I have of my dad was his reaction. I can still see it to this day. I was probably 10 or 11, and we had rented some land. It was going to be the first year that we were going to farm this rented land. And between the time when we made the deal with the owner and the time when the land was to be ceded in, something came up, and the owner sold the land. But we had the deal for that crop season. However, the new buyer, he wanted to farm that land, and I can still see him coming up our sun porch steps there back on the farm, and there was no question. We had to back down. We had to get out of there. He was farming his new land in spite of whatever kind of contract we had. And, well, that didn't suit us very well. It didn't suit my dad very well. But he backed down. He wasn't into a fight with this man. He backed down. He let him have his land. Well, some 15, 20 years later, there was a powerful tornado that went through the neighborhood, and it blew down this farmer that took the land. It blew down his beef barn. Blew it right down, a big modern beef barn, a major loss. And I still remember my dad went over there, and he spent many a day there cleaning that barn up. Well, what's the point? Sometimes, many times, our actions speak louder than our words. And I admire my dad for what he did there. Fathers, how is it with the connecting rods in your life this morning? Are they loose? Are they broken? Is there some covenants that need renewing? If there is, your children are watching how you plan to do that. They know where it's at. Well, may God give wisdom and grace and understanding and strength to each father here this morning. I was going to have the ladies sing a song for us men this morning, if you would do that. It's not a long song, but it's song number 909 in the Hymns of the Church. I'm going to have to get a book. Song number 909, and you ladies are going to ask you to sing this song here for us as men. And after we sing this song, we'll turn the time over to one of the local ministry here. So.